many times have you heard someone say to you, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. And sometimes we wonder if that's possible, especially in situations as we're in today. But yet, I challenge each of us that we keep the faith, that we put our trust entirely in the power and the strength and the guidance of an Almighty God. Today, you and I, as many times, have our faith on trial. It is a time when someone might say, this is where God separates the weak from the strong. That is not true. God never separates us if we have this much faith or this much faith. But God asks us to bring together this faith in times of trial, that we be able to gather together and help one another to move on in our faith, even in times of bad circumstances. For you see, if we lose sight of God, we lose sight of that ever craving for victory. I want to say something to us today, and I say it believing in the power of God, that the victory will be ours with God. You see, in our story today that I related to, our trial is not put on so much test when there's ease, comfort, when there's plenty. You see, the disciples were rejoicing. And there was not a problem in the world until the storm came. And at that moment, their faith was put to the test. It was put on trial. And the Bible says that they ran to the Lord. He was asleep. And they woke him up. No, the sad question that they ask, and I pray that we're not asking that question today. For they said unto the Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? He cares. He's concerned. And today, as our faith is put on trial, we need to know that maybe more than any time in our Christian life, that He really cares. And that He's concerned about us. Keep the faith. Because you see, faith is active and alive. Faith is that can cause others to move and others to fight and others to rejoice. I believe our teachers will tell us today, if I say it right, that faith is a verb. Faith is what brings forth that action. It's an active word. Keeping the faith and having faith in God. And today we are called upon to keep the faith. And no one knew this better than Jesus Christ. That real faith was an active faith. A faith that reached out. You see what had happened here. Jesus had given an order for this small boat to cast out from sea. Everything was fine. But in the midst of their journey, we know a storm came. And the disciples had become afraid, and lo and behold, they find Jesus. Jesus asleep. Now, listen to me, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not asking you to sleep in the midst of a storm. But what I am asking us to do today is have faith in the one who's in charge of the storm. The one who is able to calm that storm. And I believe a part of what the disciples learned that day was that even in the midst of a storm, they could find comfort and they could find peace because Christ was present. And today I must say I believe this is our greatest resource of peace. In fact, it's possibly our only resource of peace and comfort is to know that Christ is present. As He was that day with those disciples in the boat. I believe and I say it today that there's a time to work, but then there's a time to sit back for a while, take account of ourselves, relax, and not worry so much as we usually do. There is a story of a young man who had heard that a farmer needed some help. And he goes to the farm, and the farmer comes to the door, and the farmer says to him, "Yep, I do need help." He said, "What is your qualifications?" And the young man said, "Well, I'll tell you this, Matt. I can sleep through a storm." And this was kind of odd that this young man said it, but the farmer needed help, so he hired him. And a couple of weeks later, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the farmer was awakened with a rumbling and a shaking. And he awakes to see the thunder of the lightning flashing through the windows and hear the great thunder that shook his house and the rain pouring. And he begins to worry about his livestock and the things of the farm. And he jumps from his bed and dresses hurriedly, and he runs outside, and to his astonishment, the barn is all secured, and he looks inside, and the cattle are all safe. He looks at his equipment, and lo and behold, it had all been moved in out of all of the things, and it was in place there had ever been before. And seeing this, he's excited. He runs and kind of opens the door to the hired hand, and he hears something. And here's what he hears. And when he heard it, his mind goes back as he sees this young man standing at his door. And he realizes what this young man was saying to him. You see, this young man knew there was a time to work. And he did his work when it was supposed to be done. And he did it well. In fact, he did it so well that he knew that if a storm came, he would have no worry. He could sleep through it because everything was secure. I believe this is the picture that we might depict of Jesus sleeping. Because he knew the outcome, and he had a confidence. But the disciples' confidence was not nearly as sure of themselves. When we recap the story, today you and I in 1989 can answer their question. For they said to the Lord, "Don't you care that we perish?" And we know today from our own personal experience in God that God cares. Sure, He's concerned about every man and woman and boy and girl that's in the entire world. He's concerned about it. And they awake Him and immediately He calms the storm. Now folks, if we're going to get through this situation, we're going to have to let Christ be in our homes and in our lives and in our situation to help us calm that storm. Not only the storm that's fall off, but the storm that's taking place in our lives because of the situation. We're going to have to say to Jesus, I love you. I depend upon you. Take over. Because I can't do it. Yeah. There was a silence for a moment. And when the disciples begin to be quiet and begin to listen, Jesus gives his own question to the disciples. And his question to them was this: why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? You see, Jesus knew, and you and I know reading the story, that when they stepped onto the boat, they had a faith that was victorious. But there was no storm then. But when the storm came and put their faith on trial, that is when they begin to question and they begin to ask. But what was Jesus saying when he said to them, why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? What was he saying to them? Do you believe in me? He definitely was. That's exactly what he was saying. Do you believe in me? But he was saying more. He was asking them this question: is your faith of God? Is your faith something that's willing to work? Is your faith something that will help each other in this storm? And today I believe that he's asking that same question to us. Why are you so afraid? Don't you believe in me? And you see, we talk about faith and we say, my faith is so strong. But you see, a faith that is put to work and becomes a verb, even under pressure, is still faith. And sometimes, it seems like the greater the pressure, the stronger our faith. And someone says, preacher, you can say that from behind that pulpit. No, we must not just say it from behind the pulpit or in the pew or from our little rostrum. We must say it in our lives. I believe in God. And only then will our faith be a verb that's able to act in a situation that's not good. Sometimes that question is made tough. It's made tough because it seems like we're just one human individual and there's so many things pulling at us and reaching for our time and reaching for our attention that it seems like we haven't found a time that's taken to really serve God and put our faith to work. This is what we must do. Because that faith will become active, then we have a belief. Jesus said to his disciples, don't you believe in me? I'm not told the reply. I am just told the action. Because the action is that Jesus arose and the Bible said that he immediately calmed the storm. Do you believe me today? He can still calm the storm. Do you believe me today? He's still in control. Do you believe me today that he is still God and he said these words, and besides me there is no other God? And I care. You're pulled from every side. So many things competing. I know what I'm talking about. I'm in the same boat as you are. The phone rings and somebody else needs something. And when we begin to look at the day or the calendar, we see there's no time. I want to say today to us, we must make time for Jesus. We must make time. And there are those who do not understand your faith. How can you believe in God? With all that's happening, how can you say there's a God? And they say to us without any reservation, sure, you don't believe in this religious stuff. That's when our faith must become that verb. That's when it must become active. That's when we must be willing to say a definite, yes, I do. I believe in that religious stuff because I believe in Jesus Christ. If we can say to Jesus this morning, my faith is a verb, will we also be willing to say to Jesus, I'm willing to act upon it. I'm willing to put my faith to work. Show me a man's life by his faith and I'll show you his works. You show me his works and I'll show you his faith. Word of God reaching to us. And after almost 20 centuries, have gone by. That ancient question still echoes in our conscience today in 1981. Why are you so afraid? Don't you have faith? And there's something about faith I love. Because when our faith is put to action, it makes some changes in us. And not only does it make changes in us, it makes changes in other folks who see our faith at work. I see Jesus standing, if you will, outside the tomb. And there, the tears are flowing down his cheeks and lighting upon his breast. He is crying because he is concerned about Lazarus. And a voice rings out from someone in the crowd and hears the word that says, oh, how he loved me. Oh, ain't that precious? Oh, how he loved him. And I am here to say to us today, standing on the Word of God, that He loves you and I the very same. Oh, how He loves us. Today, think of that. The story of Jesus reminds us that faith helps us to do some things we never could do before. And it helps us to do things that the world can't do. Now, I'm not preaching on this study, but I didn't know what Miss Lee was preaching, but I believe she used Clarence as a reference about giving money or something, and said the first time you did that, did you wonder about it or something? How was you going to do it or something like that? Whatever it is in our lives when we move out for God, only one thing can move us, and that is for our faith to become active in whatever it is. Our faith must become active. What is foolish to the world is faith in action to the child of God. Let me tell you a little story. Maybe you heard it, but it's worth repeating. In the 6th chapter of Joshua, God comes to Joshua. Now, God, now the humans, in a sense. He couldn't live with the likes of me. And so he comes to Joshua. I want you to listen to what he said, folks. He said, Joshua,
You go back and you tell people that for 6 days in a row, they will completely encircle the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, they will circle the walls 7 times. And when they're circling the walls, you tell a priest to take 7 trumpets and just follow behind and just blow those trumpets. And he said, after you circle the wall, tell the priest to blow the trumpet real loud. And when the folks that are going to fight the battle hear the trumpet blowing real loud, you tell them to holler and make a joyful and a loud shout. When you do the wall fall for you. Come on, man. Can you see this man going back to this army that's mustered again? Jericho? And they say to him, what does God say to us? Big fella. And Joshua says, well, he said, not more. We walk around the wall once. We're going to do that 6 days. Huh? Yeah, that's right. And then God said on the seventh day we'll go around again while we're going around the creek to blow them horns and them trumpets. And when we get completely around it on the seventh day, the priests are going to blow their trumpets loud enough, folks. All we got to do is just yell loud. That'll all fall flat. The Bible says, you know, it leaves no distinction. It says it'll fall flat. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something like that. Only the children of God, the faith, can believe in it. I mean, you know, to the world, you're some kind of that. But you see what it is. It's not might and power. God has never asked us to have great might and great power. All God ever asked us to have is simple faith. I like it when God said, don't worry about it, just stand still and you fight the battle and say, I like that.
But because Joshua said that, lo and behold, they carried out the order. And I can kind of almost feel the anticipation of it. Maybe they're sitting around the campfire at night, one says the other.
You read. It's going to happen.
Sure. You don't think that Joshua would have told us this if he hadn't heard it from God? You don't think God would have told Joshua had it not going to happen? This guy said, well, you know what? Tomorrow is the seventh day. Man, I want to kind of get up there in the front so I can get around the wall first. But I'm going to shout.
And as they walked the wall that 7 times, holy faith, an active faith, a firm kind of faith, could have moved them around the wall. And I can still almost hear the echo. When they compassed that wall the 7 times, all of Israel shouted, ha! Somebody said it like this in a song, and the wall come a tumbling down. Yeah, that's what happened. When they shouted, the Bible said, and the wall came tumbling down flat. You got that kind of faith today? Oh, don't answer. Do I have that kind of faith today that will carry out a command, no foolish, that it sounds to me, just because God said it, you betcha, if God said it, do it, it'll come to pass.
And so they walked around the wall, and the wall fell. God didn't require that army to be a great strong army outside the wall. He didn't ask them to have superior wisdom and knowledge. He just called them to have a simple faith, and God would do the rest. That's what I've got to depend on today. That if I have the faith to believe in God, and to pray to God, and come into this building, and pour my heart out to God, that God's going to do the rest. If I don't believe that, I've already lost the battle. I believe. But the question is this to us. What happens to us? When you find yourself, not someone else, but yourself in the midst of a storm of life. Can you believe that you're not there alone? Can you believe that Jesus is there in it with us? And believing that, does your faith come alive? There was a parable, what we call a trickster. Sitting around one day, he begins to laugh, he gets up, he goes and he breaks in a jewelry store. And he doesn't steal a thing. He just changes all the price tags on everything. And the next morning when the ladies next started in the shop, they were amazed to see a $7,000 diamond for $3.95. And a $3.95 chip for $7,000. They were amazed and they almost killed each other. Will you hear me? I believe that kind of talks about my Lord. Because I believe my Lord has kind of changed the price tag on some things. The things that the world sees of so much value to them are many times almost worthless. But the things that we see in our lives that are of no value to, they are the precious jewels. And today I want to say to you and to me that if you're looking for the most precious jewel in the storehouse of God today, it's your faith. It's our faith. It's so precious. You don't have to believe that. That's not very valuable. That's the treasure of it all. You see, God knows what's valuable. Now, I want to add just one thing that just hit my mind. I've walked around a lot of drunks in my lifetime. In fact, I remember a day just taking my foot. Drunk as a skunk, I couldn't get off the bench I was on. And I kicked a man into the floor and I said to him, "Get away from me, you stinking drunk." I want to say something to you, my friend. To the world, they're not so valuable. But I thank God that I was. Because He cares. And He loves me. And today that drunk sitting on the stool is preaching the gospel to us. God really cares. How is our faith today? From the time these disciples got on that boat and landed on the other side, there was such a change. Their life was never quite the same. And today, we will make our faith a verb and make it active for God. You and I will never be quite the same either. But the decision up to me. A storm? Yes. A storm.
storm.
But let's call upon Jesus to still it. Make it calm. Oh God, this morning. I pray that our faith, dear God, will reach up to Thee. That You will increase our faith. Make it strong. Make it active. Help us to put it to use, God, knowing that if there's anything or anyone we need today, it's You in Your presence. Oh, God, help our faith to see Christ who cares. And help us, even in the storm, to take count of ourselves. Make sure that our faith, we don't lose sight of it. Because to lose sight of that faith is to lose sight of God, and to lose sight of God is to lose sight of victory. And oh God, today we call upon You for victory. You know the storm. We beg You somehow, some way, to step forward. We love You, Lord. And we know You love us. In Christ's name. Sister Sandy, Little Rosenbaum this morning. Only You and God knows your life. I ask you this simple question first. We're not going to linger unless God wants us to. Ask yourself this question. Am I a Christian? Because without being a Christian, you can't have faith in God. And if you're not a Christian, I beg you in the name of Christ today to come and give your lives to Him. You just need to step out. Believing that if you step out and come, that God will save you because He's promised. If you're here today and you're praying, oh God, please increase my faith. He will, if you're sincere. He'll do it. Maybe you have a personal need that nobody in this world knows about as you sit there. Oh, if that preacher only knew what's in here. I don't have to know what's in there. He has to know what's in there. And He does. So today, as we praise God in song, if God is dealing with your heart to do something today, remember, tomorrow may be too late. But today is the accepted time. Would you come as we stand and sing if God deals with your heart?